I've got a great piece of news that's going to require a screen share.
I love it.
The only one I did have you guys covered last week, and that was the LX700 with a front locker or whatever.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Jeez. Mm-hmm. Did you see the funny Instagram guy? What's his name? It's not that funny. Zachary something.
Zach Deal or Dial or whatever.
His little bit on it was funny. I was surprised that. I'm curious if that was like a loaner vehicle, like a press fleet vehicle, or if he like borrowed from a dealer or something, because that was a scathing review for Toyota to sponsor. I know that's not sponsor. I know in like realistically they want all kinds of reviews, but they don't. They want good reviews.
They don't really, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't a bad review, but it was like very much pointing out the worst parts.
Yeah, that's a classic story from Andrew St. Pierre White, where he has always, basically, he used to work with manufacturers a lot more than he does now. Mm-hmm. But it's mostly because all the manufacturers, like, well, not all, but a lot of the manufacturers weren't a fan of him, like, telling them on the front end, my review is my review. It is going to be completely unbiased in my opinion. It might be good. It might be bad. And because of a couple of bad things that he pointed out about a couple of vehicles, namely a Mitsubishi. Mitsubishi completely cut ties from him, and he can't get Mitsubishis from them anymore.
Which is sad.
Land Rover actually held out the longest with him, but then they also eventually changed. But he said it was mostly because the people that were in charge of who gets loaner vehicles and things like that had changed hands, basically. And so all of his grandfathered in sway left when those people left. So he doesn't really get cars anymore from anybody. So.
Yeah.
Huh. That's crazy.
That'll happen.
Yeah. I think I remember you telling me that I imagine he wouldn't fit in very well with Ferrari.
Yeah, right.
They're notorious.
Yeah, they cut people off all the time.
Yeah, they're quite litigious about it too, from what I understand.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Yeah. Yep. I just needed an excuse to say that word. I really like it.
Just wow. Yeah, yeah, just gotta get the big words in.
Yeah.
Wow. This guy.
Hi, Jesse.
Hi. Sorry, I'm tardy.
we've been saying that about you for years.
sorry, I'm tardy to the Campfire Passport podcast.
Wow.
Look at you. That was.
Have we even started recording yet? This is ahead of schedule.
Yeah, I mean, I've been recording the whole time. So
Always be recording.
Mm-hmm. ABR.
Welcome, Jesse. I'd like to jump into our conversation, take something from the chat and move it, or the group chat and move it over into shared screen here.
Oh, good.
I just want to mention that I missed out on 100 and
it was a busy day.
I know. 108 messages.
Hmm.
108? Is that it?
That's how the gun group chat morning. Is for me, because I keep that on red.
So if you look at the screen share here.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Volkswagen, Audi, specialty tools. And I just want to scroll down a little bit. And we were talking about what's easier to work on and what's easier. There are 5 pages of Volkswagen, Audi, specialty tools necessary. And now if you go to Mazda dealer equipment program and you go to the Mazda specialty tool, there's no tools. Now, this is only funny because the website just isn't showing anything.
Yeah. But, also, there's a spring compressor set in there. That's not exactly Volkswagen specific.
But the difference is there is a flywheel counter holding tool, a front and rear wheel bearing remover install kit tool,
that's just a fuel fancy gauge. That's a fancy hammer.
I know, but the fact that they all there's a fuel gauge wrench.
I mean, some of this is like some more for your convenience than it is anything else.
Some of it, I get it, but also
like you don't need that. But like, also, hey, we're gonna do this if you want to use it.
Sometimes they do that so that the factory can make an excuse to sell the dealerships more tools.
Oh yeah, but I'll tell you, the GTI I worked on last when I was doing all the oil change or the oil leak hunting and all the other stuff, and I had to get the cam girdle off and all the other crap. I spent more money on tools than I did on parts to get that thing fixed. I had to buy the right size triple squares, and then I had to buy the wobble triple squares because you can't get the regular ones in certain areas. And then I had to get
hate tools.
Yeah, I do. But all to fix a bunch of oil leaks that didn't have any parts required to repair them. I spent like $90 in gaskets.
Well, now you have them. So for the next 3 GTIs you have.
Yeah, exactly.
And you no, I gave them all away.
Mike, you keep saying it's hard to work on and then telling us that you didn't even need any parts to fix it.
You just needed a tool that you can use over and over again.
Exactly. On all the Volkswagens I don't want to own.
Well, you know.
You're going to buy more.
Yeah,
we all know.
It just happened.
Odds are you will actually own another one.
Oh, I'm sure. But I won't want to. Yeah, it'll be against my will.
You might not be full Euro now, but you'll always be Euro curious.
I did the injectors on my lunch break on the Miata. I was able to get in there and swap those out. And that included a broken bolt in the intake that was from a previous owner. Mm. That I had to weld a nut on the end and do all the fun stuff to get it busted loose and removed. And I still was able to get it all 4 injectors swapped in my lunch break. So it's parked out front, actually, which is nice. I get to put some miles on it and see if anything else is wrong now that it's not ruining its life with fuel.
It does run better, though?
Oh, so much better. It idles super low, but it's not dying, and it's able to, like, actually idle and run through the entirety of its rev range instead of just starting at 4,000 RPM and up. It definitely was just dumping fuel with that injector. I know I've talked about that a bunch, but that one, the number 3, I think, was just pouring fuel into there. I pulled the spark plug out after I swapped everything, and I put new plugs in it as well. And the old plug came out. It's been in the garage for like 3 weeks, and it was all wet still. So...
Are you telling me that a Lucas product couldn't fix a vehicle of yours?
No, this is previous his favorite owner tool. Issues. Yeah.
Speaking of special tools.
Yeah, coming from the guy who's still got my transmission stop slip.
It's sitting right there on the shelf for you when I see you next.
I'm not worried about it.
I have a gripe with you.
Uh-oh.
That I need to air.
Hit it.
And what I should have done was pulled up the audio for this. But there was a statement made on a previous podcast that Mike made about black vehicles and how
I know
he would never get a black vehicle for his wife because it's going to be too much work. And
say whatever you want. I commented that on there as I was listening yesterday. Yeah. Or today.
Yep. What color is your wife's new truck? She got
a black Escalade.
48 hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Less than 48 hours later, that sucker was in a black SUV.
I did not want it. I did not want it. I did not want it. And yet here we are.
You did do. You
I didn't want a black car. She liked it. But anyway.
She's now better than everybody, though.
I know.
A black Escalade.
Yeah.
Well, everybody but the Range Rover drivers. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But those those moms, you know, bring herbal tea and listen to Taylor Swift. Black Escalade moms. What is it? It's rap music and Monster. Have you seen all this?
No, I have not. I'm not part of the Escalade culture.
There's a bunch of reels about how there's black SUV moms and there's white SUV moms. And it's like the color of the SUV, not the color of the mom.
That's risky.
I know.
And I don't know if I want to be a part of this conversation.
And it's like the Taylor Swift granola moms versus the, like, we're listening to college, you know, high school music, emo, and having a good time, and everything's a mess moms. And it's pretty funny.
I've never heard of emo as a good time, but it's a different, I think that's like the slight age difference between you and I.
Yeah. I think we're a little older, or younger than each other.
Good. Wait, what? Yeah. There's a very safe assumption.
100%. I'm not going to lie this time. All right. You guys called me out on lying. I'm going to tell you only truthful statements as best I can.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah. That's the goal. I'm going to be very quiet this podcast.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That one I'll believe when I see it.
Yeah. Comparatively. Comparatively.
Wait, where's that last sound I just used? I'm going back.
Liar!
There it is. There it is.
So, Sean.
Yeah.
You got some news? Got any news facts? Or Luke, any news facts since you're the news guys?
It is a light week in news, I think. There isn't a
you
whole lot.
You said that last week.
And then I had a good
and then you proceeded to pull up four articles about things. So
this is later. Then I'm going to pull up one article that's going to make such a splash that it'll make up for four. Because we need a sound for midsize truck podcast. This is compact to midsize. Mm. The 2025 Nissan Rogue Rock Creek. Solid daily, but the tow hooks are fake.
That was your splash.
That was nice. Yeah. Look at it. This is essentially a Nissan Forester.
Mm.
And I didn't read a lot of the article because, to be really blunt, I don't care. And I don't think anybody else sitting here or listening does either. But
it is
an off-road Rogue.
With Subaru?
No.
No, it just looks like a Subaru.
No, that looks like a Subaru kind of connection.
I mean, Subaru's Rogue is more, Rogue's more like a RAV4 sized thing. Yeah. Are the new Foresters that big? I don't know.
Yeah, they're all in the same class.
They're all cars.
Yeah. You know what? I'll say the engine or the interior, better looking than I remember the Rogue in the past. That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. It's got good angles.
But man, outside it looks as ugly as ever. And it's got some Falcon like Wild Peaks on it and a roof rack. And that's pretty much the highlights.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like a...
It's got the same orange, detailing that like the... They seem to be really leaning into this orange detailing inside.
Yeah. What a weird name,
it's
though.
It's kind of like an Ascent made it.
They started putting this. They have a Pathfinder Rock Creek. They have it's a trim package thing they started doing a few years ago. And Nissan's version of like a different edition is like painting the tow hooks orange and putting an orange stripe on it. And
I didn't know it was a three cylinder. That's kind of interesting.
Oh, I didn't.
200 horsepower three cylinder.
Oh, there you go.
225 pound-feet of torque. You know, it is what it is.
They gave it a 7.5 out of 10.
The only thing Nissan, like outside of the Z and the Frontier, where you actually like get a rear locker, or the Z where you get like better brakes or better suspension when you go to the Nismo, like they do a lot of this where they're like, we built a whole new car and you just...
And you're like,
put orange stitching in the leather.
Yeah, you put orange stuff on it. It makes a comment in here that it isn't taller than the standard Rogue.
The lower fascia. Wait. Scroll back. That paragraph right there. The lower fascia that mimic toe hooks.
Mimic toe hooks.
Ooh, wait a minute.
That's a good idea.
are these glued on?
If you have wondered at all why Nissan is in the position that they are in.
God. I get their consumers.
This could be a sign.
They just fired their CEO.
There's a reason that I'm not in the Nissan business anymore, and it's pretty disappointing.
It's a fake toe hooks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that's pretty much the only news that I picked up on. I was trying to remember if there's anything that I just had run across this week, but it's been, I haven't seen anything.
Motor One has a rendering of what they think an FJ will look like, FJ Cruiser will look like. It looks stupid.
Oh, I think I saw that too.
Oh, they're talking about doing an FJ Cruiser?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tudor Land Cruiser, maybe?
I would imagine if they build one, it'll be on that same platform, right? It'll just be
I mean, everything is. I think they're about to put the Camry on that platform.
The RAV4, the Camry. You know, you were talking about buying something a little sportier. You could just get a Camry.
Get a Camry, man. TRD,
or the Universal Race Car, the Altima.
Yeah.
There is that.
As was proven by the Cletus McFarlane Ultima 500 or Ultima.
The Ultima 600,
whatever they did.
Cool, yeah.
Wasn't there like 78 cars in that?
I don't know. It looked a lot.
Fantastic.
My daddy even saw it. He texted me about it on Monday.
It's worth a watch. I popped in and watched that whole thing, and it is worth it. It is insane what normal highway drivers will do, but when you put them on a racetrack, those things are. Broken. There's so many that ran into so many other ones.
There's some big benefits to having an Ultima.
Did you see that they like? Sorry. Continue, Sean.
Oh, I was gonna say one of the big benefits of having an Ultima is that you don't have to register it. They don't need plates.
Yeah.
That's helpful. And I'm assuming because you don't have plates, you probably don't have to insure them.
Yeah. No, huh? And if you
none of them are insured anyway, so
yeah.
Just leave it and then move to the next one.
It's not in my name. I don't care.
I love it.
So I pulled up that render you were talking about of the baby FJ Cruiser rendering thing, and it looked like it's a four door, and that seems un.
Do you want to share FJ. It with the class,
it's,
or
it's
just
not particularly
keep it to
no,
yourself?
No, I already closed it. I got upset and I just shut it down.
Looking at it on his phone, he's just.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm not interested in.
I mean,
I
know it's a podcast, but we do have a visual medium for it.
Now, I'm just going to describe it. I'm going to describe it very well.
Because gray and my old ass laptop likes to freeze and kick me out of the chat or out of the recording app when I out of Riverside when I try and share shit. Especially when it's like you're any of the automotive websites where there's like 1,000 pop-ups.
Oh god!
Yeah, 200 pictures.
Let's see here. Although somehow it's faster in Edge than it is in Chrome.
Here we go. This is the one that they were showing.
I mean, that's a Land Cruiser.
Yeah, and it's four door. And it has two windshield wipers.
It's a weird looking Land Cruiser.
I don't understand what they were. They're just putting FJ on whatever.
Yeah, that I think that's just somebody wildly guessing and
looks like a Jeep Renegade.
Poorly.
Yeah,
smaller Land Cruiser. It says
compact, rugged. They got no idea. They're just making
sure
that
is not the one that Motor One has. But
they say it's going to be slightly larger than a Corolla Cross.
So no the same size as a RAV4?
I guess.
Yikes.
It doesn't look like it's going to be good. And I hope that that's a bad rendering, right? Because if you're going to do an FJ, I want to see three windshield wipers.
Well, that's definitely not a Toyota rendering, so there's that.
Yeah. You think Mo did it on his...
Mo submitted this, actually. Yeah.
Hold on. All right,
on his AI.
He's been pretty good about it lately.
There we go. It's still ugly, but at least it's small and ugly.
Yeah, but it's a...
I don't know.
Man.
It is greener.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in 20 years it'll look better like the current last FJ.
That's true.
Took 20 years to grow in me, and now I'm kind of like, damn.
I kind of thought it was tall enough to need the ladder. What's it got the ladder on the side for?
It's got a little ladder.
Yeah, you got to put a little ladder on it.
It's for...
You got to put a little ladder.
You think those tow hooks are real?
Which ones? The ones that are up by the hood or the ones that are on
those
the bumper?
Those are for the branched things.
Yeah, those are for the...
Oh, the limb risers?
The limb risers. Yeah. Yeah. Or Ford calls them
the stupid
gun
Broncos
sights.
Have those too, huh?
Yeah, Ford calls them gun sights.
Gun sights.
America.
Okay. America, yeah.
Pew, pew.
So I guess I'll bring up this video that I don't think they'll care if I fucking...
Let's watch it. Let's get pulled off of YouTube. That'll be fun.
I'd like to get some strikes against us, just so we know people are paying attention.
And YouTube to YouTube, yeah. I think is okay, honestly, but actually,
no, they'll,
you know,
they'll strike you.
I'm no expert.
It's their AI that does it.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see, where'd it go? History.
We've been bit by the songs before, so...
Yeah, been bit by that and by Dakar videos, but those weren't on YouTube. Those were straight from Dakar. So what this is an age-old debate that we've had. we've kind of had this conversation and about this particular vehicle. Let's see here. Share. And it's the guy that we've talked about how he's pretty green. He doesn't really know that much of what he's doing. Oh. And the guy that bought Nate's orange FJ 80. Mm-hmm. And so they did a 100 series versus XJ build off. And then like went and did like a little competition together. Huh. And it was slightly entertaining watching the Venture to Rome guy realize how he's supposed to drive an XJ.
Yeah.
Because he goes through all these stages of like the 100 series is all like careful and everything that he does and place things the right way. And then like the Venture to Rome dude like kind of realizes, oh, I just got to hit it with more,
a little whoop-ow.
Little more mustard, you know? And he just starts hammering that thing through some stuff. And it does all the things that like, I would 100% expect it to be able to do.
Yeah.
Because it's an XJ. And it's like he finally starts treating it like an XJ. And it's like, yes, it has no issues. Everything works great. The funny surprise, though, that it got was, and I'll see if I can fast forward to it, because that, I think this will actually be the biggest surprise for all of you. Yep, right here.
Oh my God, they drag race them?
They drag race them.
Oh,
so
really?
this was pretty interesting because, you know, V8 versus an inline six.
Yeah, but I love that 4-liter.
And
I don't know.
What, Jesse?
I was going to say that 4-liter, though, is surprisingly quick.
It's all gearing. It's
and that V8
pounds
is
lighter, too.
1,000 pounds lighter, and it's probably still on like 321 gears. So it has some like top end to it. It's got bottom end torque.
I don't know if
you
re-geared it or not.
Just leave it in.
Wow. So an XJ on 35s is faster than a 100 series on, I think they're like 34s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not surprising.
XJ is super leggera.
It's a Lotus, basically. is the death wobble you just slowed down from.
Yeah.
So that those were the two pretty funny bits, just like I said, just his realization of like how he needs to drive an XJ, and then the drag race. So
realize, so, oh, I need to treat this thing like shit in order for it to perform.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. As you can see here, he's just like just hammering it through some stuff. And it's like, yeah, that's how you needed to drive it because that's how it does everything really well. Overall, it's an okay test. I don't know. I just, like I said, I think it was mainly entertaining to watch him learn how to drive an XJ.
Yeah.
The XJ way.
I think everybody should have to drive an XJ every once in a while, just to remember that the gas pedal is your friend.
Yeah.
You could do some things with momentum that you don't think you should, but if you do them, you'll do them, especially if you're in an XJ.
Harness your inner Kyle.
Yeah.
And you'll find success in an XJ.
I mean, you're Tyson.
Yeah.
Is what you
or Tyson.
Harness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tyson's the only person I've ever met that broke both the front and rear differential on the same obstacle at the same time.
Well, yeah, because he kept going after it. He's like, oh, whatever. Let's keep going.
It's great. And then he fixed it and went back out and did it again, and it was fine. It was amazing.
Neither of these vehicles had got lockers.
Got it. I see.
So that was a big part that I was like picking up on, because I think I think they had other videos about this. I didn't watch any of them.
Got it.
I just watched this one. So like they had videos about how they built them and all this stuff, and I didn't pay attention to that. They also did this. They did a tug.
Oh, a tug of war.
They did a tug of war. They tugged each other off.
Good tug job.
And the results of this are also kind of funny.
Really?
But for a different reason.
Is it a kinetic rope?
Yeah, they use a kinetic rope, which is a little weird.
Okay.
But I think they put tension on it before they went after it. But this is the result is...
Nothing?
Nothing. they literally can't pull each other.
Just digging holes.
So obviously it's because the 100 series is too heavy for the XJ to pull. So, but then the 100 series doesn't have quite enough power to pull the XJ when it's got force against it. Like that, zero movement.
Interesting. I mean, put them on asphalt and see who does what. Go from there.
Who breaks what? Yeah.
I was going to say who blows up the dirt first.
Oh, the XJ will explode and it will get pulled backwards.
Who overheats a transmission first?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just kind of a funny, like, I mean, the video is only like 16 or 20 minutes long or something like that. Like, it's pretty short, but it was kind of, it's solely worth watching to watch this dude who, you know, drives a Rubicon Jeep and had only ever done overlanding until doing like some wheeling, and then went into the Rubicon last summer. And that was like the most wheeling he's ever done.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly learn the XJ way. And he just like slowly like starts picking up on it. And just like, you can see him enjoying
off-roading
more and more, because when he's in his Jeep, his Wrangler, he tends to be like very, careful and scared to try things and light on the throttle and all that. And then he's like, with the XJ, it's completely the opposite. He's realizing
that is not my Wrangler experience.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Not everybody is figuring us out in this group.
I was like, the two of us can tell you that you can also XJ a Wrangler.
Yeah.
Yes. This is true.
True. So, I don't know if we want to blow up their thing, but who won?
I didn't watch the very end.
I'm certain they called it a tie. The XJ won because you.
But they broke it down to. I didn't see if they like said overall who the winner was. They like broke it down into like, the better overlander is the 100 series, and the better, they called it rock crawler, was the XJ, and they just like better daily driver was the 100 series. Most of the things that they found were pretty exactly what we expected.
Do you think that's because of the independent front suspension on the 100 series drives better on the highway?
Well, that's a torsion bar. I think it's mostly just because the 100 series is so much more comfortable than an XJ.
Okay.
You know, luxury.
Luxury.
It did have heated seats. I did see that much. So.
Yeah, that's a weird comparison, but I like it still. It's just not...
I mean, I think their initial thing was like to buy and build for under 20, which is fucking easy. It's hilarious, like how people think that it costs an insane amount of money to build something. But both of those easily get under there. Obviously, the 100 is going to be a little more money than an XJ.
You say 20 on an XJ goes a really long way.
I was going to say, you could buy two XJs for 100 series.
Build two XJs for the one, So... I don't know. I think for the, noob squad, the vanilla squad of people that don't necessarily know as much about getting into this type of stuff, it's a great video to kind of get a rough idea.
I think extra prices have gone up, which makes that budget make a little more sense, but it doesn't make as much sense. I mean, you could get a 96 for $3,500. That's an okay shape, and you're a $800 Ford 8.8 with a limited slip already in it, and you can get. I mean, it'll already have a high pinion 30. You can get chromoly shafts. You do control arms in the front or a long arm kit, and some better springs in the rear. You're $7,500, and then you buy tires, and you should be done at that point. I mean, $20,000 was so that the Toyota could be involved.
I was going to say $20,000 in an XJ can get you tons and 40s and lockers yeah. front and rear.
Oh yeah.
Well, if you don't have to pay someone to install it, it's gonna. We've yeah, had this true. Conversation true, before. Yeah. It's really weird because yeah. it's like I can make the argument that I could probably build my rig for that amount of money, but
mm-hmm. you're not including the cost of your
that
own
guy driver. Can't.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
well, but, they built him in this video, right? Like they did video. Their own work.
Well, I think they did some of the work, but you could see when the like intro was there, some of it was in a garage, some of it was in a shop, like a shop yeah, setting.
I think that okay. one of the things that they broke down on the price sheet was labor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they did have some things that were labor. I don't.
Well, that's good.
I don't know what okay. exactly, but
at least they
yeah,
you know, talked about it.
Yeah,
I've seen it. There's been others that do it, and you're like, wait a minute, you,
yeah,
you know, like mm-hmm. you had your gear set up by somebody.
That, yeah,
right.
No, they're going to Onyx build challenge this thing and yeah, say that they nope, I had all this material just laying around, didn't cost me nothing.
It's safety.
Yeah, that's like old when they first did Lemons Racing, back when Lemons yeah. Racing was still pure.
Pure.
Didn't they have a clause that any like they could always like just claim that your vehicle didn't fit for some reason?
Yeah, or,
like
basically, if enough there? People complained, either that's like it. Your competitors or the organizers could basically just like take you out, and they would do something funny with your race car, like run a bulldozer over it.
Hmm. Well, I mean that's not
a reward.
Well, Yeah, that's not far off of like the, is it the Finns? I think it's the Finnish, like their like driving school has like a rally aspect, and this race series, everybody has to have it. Like there's a price limit on how much you can spend, mm-hmm. but it's a up to you if you actually limit yourself to that, because at the end of every race, anyone can come to you and buy your vehicle for a set price.
Yeah, there, I think there was
and
that
so like the, a while too. So that's to like attempt to keep things fair yeah. mm-hmm. because yeah. it's like, well, do you want to invest all this money and then have the next guy buy it from you? Like,
that, yeah.
That was like, I saw something in a history like channel thing. We're watching a bunch of stuff with Miles because he's been sick at home. And there was like a king, and it might have been the king in Finland that was like, you just tell us what you owe in taxes. And we're going to do the honor system. And is this, you know, wooden ship would pull up. They'd be like, yeah, we owe you 2 gold bars and blah, blah, blah. And he'd go, okay. But no matter what you said you owed, he reserved the right to buy your cargo at that price. And so if you came in and you were like, oh yeah, we don't got hardly anything. We only owe you $20 and we're going to go over there. And he goes, okay, great. I'll give you $2,000 for all the cargo of your ship. And we'll see if I win here. But it was kind of cool that was the same way that they do the rally, though. Because yeah. I'm like, that's also
somewhat honor lesson. System, but it can't yeah. be checked.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Reserve the right.
Well, now that we've meandered for 30 or so minutes, does anybody have in particular something to bring to the table for most? Or underrated, or one of the most underrated, or unsung heroes.
Well, I thought you said overrated. No. I've been just shit talking for
God. Not God, overrated. Time. We'd all come up with the same answer.
It's easy. I was going to say, any Toyota.
It's a Toyota 4Runner.
I'm a Toyota guy.
Yeah. And why is, yeah. What is your answer, and why is it 4Runner? Yeah.
Underrated. overland platform.
Shit. I'm
going to be the one that says it. Montero lives in there, right? Like, that's part of its thing.
So
we've gone over this. Like,
we've gone over this, but I do have a gripe there.
Okay.
Because I do see the Montero, but I think that the the second gen and 2.5 gen have reached their properly rated level.
I agree. I see them.
The prices are high now, and like, people know what they are.
I saw one now, today, that was like small lift, ARB bumpers, blah, blah, blah. So as I was thinking about that on the way home and looking at other stuff that's on the freeway with me, I'm like, nope, there's a Montero. That's out.
Yeah. Yeah. See, so I think if it's Montero, I think it has to be a third gen. Oh, I think a third gen is the series that, or even maybe a sport, that are the underrated versions of the Montero sect there.
Yeah. I have Montero, what, first gen or third gen?
Okay.
On my list.
Yeah, first gen makes sense too. I have another oddball then. I think this is underrated, and we can just talk about of course.
They're, again, I see them a lot.
That one is one, actually.
Yeah, those are overrated, if you ask me, but
I think we should throw a couple overrateds in here.
Afterwards. I think they're rated.
So Luke and I were just talking about this. This is one that is not completely overrated, because globally it's definitely not, but in the US, I think the Patrol is underrated. I think people don't import Patrols at the same amount that they do
users. Yeah, definitely not.
They're just as good. And it's weird to me that you see so many right hand drive 80 series and no GU Patrols.
GUs, GQs. Yeah.
I've seen a handful ever.
Yeah.
And I've driven more than that right hand drive 80
series. Even here, where like there's a lot of imported right hand drive stuff, but it's all like, what are the Delicas and Land Cruisers, whatever, hardly see any Patrols. Yeah. I was going to say WJ or WK2 Grand Cherokee.
Yeah. So in
not
my
WK1, because those are garbage. But
yeah, in my fever, I also was like, okay, well, what would I think of? And that was the first thing I thought of, was the WJ. Yeah, it's a good rig.
Chrysler made 1.5 million of those. They were sold in every continent that sells cars, so I guess you could exclude Antarctica. But
I bet one's been there.
I bet one's been there.
I bet one's been there.
Those are kind of properly rated,
though. I don't see them as I never see them as like overland builds. I see them as like high schooler, either shitty rock crawlers or like high schooler kids' first build that got a lot of wrong shit on it. But not properly built. Overlanders.
Every time I see one that's like modified that doesn't have tons under it or something, I think it's like I'm really sorry for saying this, especially to Colin, because Colin's, when you didn't you have one of these, or do I make it? Okay,
yeah.
When you had it, it was a lot newer, so this does not apply to you. But now, when I see them, they're
a long
like
time ago.
Trashy and have monster stickers on them and roof baskets.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That's Jeep culture. That's Jeep culture in general. So
yeah, but
cheap Jeeps, ownership. You know.
But that's why I think they're underrated as a platform. Solid axles from the factory. No lockers, but there's like viscous locker in the back or whatever.
And it's an aluminum 44, but the housing size, you can still put 44 stuff.
And they're usually
if you got the right package.
Yeah. Full time four wheel drive. And if you're talking overlander, you're not building a rock crawler out of it. So like you don't need heavy modifications. You don't need 37s. You don't whatever.
What are you talking about?
I think the shortfall.
I
think the shortfall there though is the 4.7.
Yeah, but you can get it with a 4 liter.
I'm just saying, like, it's not you have to narrow your scope of view, because the 4.7 can be a real nightmare.
And overseas, they sold them with an Italian diesel, so.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
I mean, so, and here was my Jeep that I felt is an underrated overlander, since we're in the Jeep form, is the Commander, the XK. I know it's not a great deal, Like, it's not like it. It's kind of a weird Jeep when it comes to the Jeeps, but you could get it with a Hemi for one, which, so plenty of power, all that. So like that's, and I don't know much about how great or bad the Hemis are.
Long-term reliability issues, couple reasons, but okay. Go on.
But the other thing about them is you can hold out and get the Quadra Drive 2, which has limited slip front and rear diffs.
Yeah.
Which is a huge, like that for an overlander, like that is massive out the gate starting point to being able to go places that you didn't think you could go in your mostly stock vehicle or, you know, overland loaded vehicle. Like two limited slips is a lot of traction adder for the everyday Joe.
Those have some issues with flattening cams, with variable, that's a variable valve timing pushrod engine, and they have issues on the front end of that. They have issues, they are multi-displacement, so they have issues with the MDS system, with the lifters collapsing. They all always need exhaust manifolds, and it's not that bad to replace them the first three times, but eventually you're going to wear you're going to wear the heads out pulling broken studs out of them. Like, so they have a handful of issues before you get to the gearbox.
The transmission I would avoid, I always heard
that era of Jeep, the 05 to 2010 Daimler Chrysler, it's a bad era. Is real bad.
Yeah.
Like they're in now. I'm hearing nightmares about their current situation, but I don't have
it's one of those, like if you find the right one, like one that's been really well taken care of, like that type of thing, like that's a lot of extra things to add into what you're doing, but like if you go the extra mile on that side, you're going to have a pretty high level of start point. That's how I was viewing it.
And I always kind of thought that they could look cool if they weren't so weird.
Yeah.
Like you just do a little bit of work, you get the right size tire on it, you get rid of some of the like factory pocket flare crap they were doing, and you just put like a decent front bumper on it with a nice little winch pocket and some like good fogs. You could really, I don't know, Matt's wife Anita had one for like 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And in that 45 minutes, they blew the transmission.
That tracks for a Palmer family.
Yeah, well, the transmission, they like bought it, took it home from the dealership, and the transmission exploded at my parents' house.
It's the longest a Palmer is on the car.
Like, I think it exploded when they remote started it. So like they remote started it. It wasn't going anywhere. It was in park in the driveway, and then it started dumping trans fluid on the ground.
Beautiful.
But I was always like, those could have been pretty cool. They've got pretty decent interior space. They've got pretty decent
space
like,
is
layout.
Good, but like the overall vibe in it is pretty cheap.
That is
the inside that like
that's all
like
Chrysler
Luke was saying
travel.
That era, it just feels kind of bleh.
Yep.
In there. So
nope, I'm with you on that.
Hard plastics. I get that. They all rattle. They all squeak. I have too much experience like behind the curtain on those cars that I just I don't like them.
That's fair. That's fine. That's why we're talking about it.
Yeah. Sorry. It just gives me nightmares. Where the WJs don't, they're really good. And they're really easy to work on.
That's very true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. WJ, just a fancy XJ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what a ZJ is really, but
yeah.
Just same take that to the next.
It's a ZJ Evo.
There we go.
Well, on the same similar vibe, could you lump the KJ, the Liberty, into that stuff?
I like KJ Liberties. I hate the later ones, the square ones.
Correct. I hate the later ones are worse.
KK Liberties or whatever they are. But
If you're a solo.
Yeah, they're
or
a little smaller size.
Maybe two people.
Yeah.
But outside of that, like they're very small.
Yeah, they're not very big. They're like the Suzuki Sidekick and Grand Vitara size. Yeah.
It was on my top five under five like a year ago. Yeah.
And you could get them in a diesel.
Yeah.
So you could get a diesel, which is, you know.
I think I joined you in that loop, though. I think I was still with you on the There's some people that have done some pretty decent stuff with them. There's one guy that cut the top off and made it a convertible.
Oh, and classic length right there.
Classic. No,
cut the top off it.
It looked better than I thought.
Nope.
Hold on.
I remember that pile of garbage.
Well, while he's doing that, Jesse, I feel like you're sitting on pins and needles to tell us something that you had.
Oh no, I got a whole list here.
A whole list. Jeez.
Yeah. The first one on my list is a Nissan Hardbody. I love the hell out of those trucks. Okay. I think they've got a reliable drivetrain and motor, and it's four-wheel drive. I mean, none of my list here really is based on, like, if it has lockers. This is overlanding. So if it's got four-wheel drive, you're in the wind. So, yeah, Nissan Hardbody.
I'm on board with Hardbody. Well, my first car was a Hardbody Pathfinder, and I love that thing.
Which you could lump into that same group if you've got...
Yeah, I would say the Pathfinder would be the better.
If you need four doors, you have to get a Pathy.
Yeah.
But...
Unless you import one from Mexico, you can get four-door Hardbodies in Mexico.
Mm. And they are of age.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Hey. Yeah.
There you go.
I'm interjecting. Real quick, not the fact that the top is cut off, but the rest
of
that.
I hate that thing.
I don't hate it.
It's fucking bad, Mike.
I don't hate it.
I don't hate that. That's kind of fun.
I don't hate that at all. If you lived in like Sand Hollow and you never had to worry about it raining and you just didn't care.
It rains everywhere.
Never enough to care.
Yeah, but if you
wouldn't have to worry about it raining.
This is $800 worth of Jeep, and then you get $300 back by scrapping the top that you cut off. You're coming out ahead.
Do you guys remember in the Ben Dust days, the Photoshop of Colin in the convertible Jetta.
Convertible Jetta, yes.
that's what I see.
Photoshop him into this.
Yeah, that's very much in that in that ilk.
I'm not going to mention the person's name, but I'm just the convertible Jetta. Yeah.
That's more than enough.
Classic.
Classic.
I'm 100% throwing in L322 into that.
Of course.
Into this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's on my list.
Okay, yeah.
I still think they're rated, but...
They aren't, though. Like, you say that because of me and you being around
me. Yeah, but I've seen other ones.
Outside of that, like, there's some, but there is not... There is such a low number of those compared to any other Land Rover. Like, it's discos, it's LR3s.
True, the discos, like those, far more.
Those are the main ones. But L322, as far as an overlander goes,
you get
the mid-range, mid-year range, so it has the facelift, the better interior, 4.2 supercharged, it's 400 horsepower. You're never going to be lacking in that department.
Yeah.
It's got tons of luxury. It's got plenty of space. I don't think anybody did.
I did. I won that.
I don't think that's the case.
I think it is.
I don't think so.
Well, we'll just have to repeat it on a foot race.
I'm in.
Never going to happen.
It's never going to happen.
So my oddball answer was... feet for underrated overlanding. You can do it on your feet.
Hiking?
They call that
a billion people.
Yeah, they call that
backpacking. That's called hiking. That's why it was the joke.
It was the joke.
It was a bad joke.
You and Greg can go backpacking fun, but
no, I'm not going backpacking. I'm fine.
Underrated in my opinion. The Tahoe platform goes to the, 99 to 07, so before they get big, before they get real big.
They're still huge.
So is that a GMT 800?
Well, so
but even the 700,
99 to 07. Yeah. So it's both the 800 and the 900. What's the next one?
I don't know. GM.
The 07 plus is 900.
Okay.
But you're LS swapped from the factory. To me, that's a start. But and everybody talks about how big they are, but I've been through this with looking them all up. They're not that much bigger than anything else. Well, they're like, go forth. But it's about 100 series size.
They're bigger than 100 series. They're about the size of a Sequoia. They're a little bit bigger than a Sequoia, mm-hmm. which a Sequoia is bigger than 100 series. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just...
In the same breath,
I don't want to overland a Suburban.
Yeah, there's also that. Sorry, Jesse.
Sorry.
Hey, it's fine.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I got all the room. And I was going to say, in the same breath, this is overlanding, same not wheeling. I'm just thinking currently. Of what a typical person does for overlanding. It's mm-hmm. gravel. It's gravel roads. It's BLM roads.
They would
not
be fine.
Really that yes. tight. Mm-hmm. We take it to the next level. We're more wheeling than we do overland.
Yeah, we take it to
the next level. The thing I'll argue against that is, like, around here, there's a lot of, like, really narrow shelf roads. And when you go across, you know, Utah or eastern Idaho, whatever, western Montana, it's a lot of, like, steep, narrow shelf roads and full width.
It's scary. Yeah, so I've been rethinking in my mind ever since I started using Raw Dog as the overlander is I don't want to do the road out of McGrew down to what was that place called? Started with an S. Colin.
Are
you talking about
Shady Cove?
The falls on White River?
No, McGrew Trail.
Oh. Sorry.
McGrew. Yeah. For some reason, at the end of McGrew. Else. So there's those big shelf hills.
Sourdough.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that was sketchy enough and not sketchy, but like, you know, it felt like a little uncomfortable in my tiny little Tacoma. Now you thinking full width.
You had a 4-door, 5-foot bed Tacoma. You had like the second biggest option Tacoma as your tiny little Tacoma.
Compared to my 76 Suburban,
but you can't call it a tiny little Tacoma.
It's the serious.
It's the one you forgot. You could tell him it was the Tacoma you forgot.
The one I forgot. Yeah,
the white.
But I get what you're. All I'm trying to say is I get what you're saying, yeah. Luke.
Like Black Bear is like the benchmark here, and I wouldn't want to take Tahoe's going to end up at the bottom of a 3,000 foot cliff.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of full-size rigs that have done Black Bear Pass that are like full-size rigs. I don't think that I would be afraid of a Tahoe because so many people are overlanding F-150s and Super Duties and all that stuff. So I don't think that it's as big as everybody feels like it is. I have one parked in my driveway, but it's the newer one, which is even a little bit bigger. And it's quite a bit smaller than my F-150.
So when's the Escalade getting tons in 40s?
Haley's got to stop liking it.
Okay.
Because that is the plan.
Full drive train.
I have another one.
Yeah. Stock Super Duty, Ram 3500, Black Bear Pass. So a ton of people in a stock long bed Super Duty. On Black Bear Pass.
Really?
So again, while I agree, I wouldn't want to do it Super Duty or something like that. So many people overland full-size rigs like that already that if you're talking about overlanding, not about tight trail off-roading going crazy, I think the Tahoe isn't given its credit.
Right.
It's given its credit everywhere else, though.
Yeah, everybody else has it. Yeah. And that's why we got an Escalade.
Maybe that's why none of us are agreeing on it.
I've pulled two LSs out of
about these fucking Tahoes. Right.
Yeah.
Ferrari FF with a 3-inch lift and 33s. Full drive V12. A big boot.
It's got a big boot. I think it might be my last one that I like came to mind quickly. Might be the cheapest crew cab or double cab, however you want to say it, truck. And we just talked about it on a previous podcast. A Sport Trek.
Yeah,
an Explorer Sport Trek.
That's a good one.
Like we talked about, they are so cheap. They're fine.
Yeah,
and it's and it's a crew cab truck. Yep. So like find
short, and it's a super short bed. Which
find
makes
something
nice.
Else that is that, you know, that is a crew cab truck for as cheap as you're finding those. Like, yeah, you can probably find a couple, you know, like the, a Frontier, you know, things like that. Like they're, but they are right there in step with that type, like first gen Frontiers, first gen, I don't know, whatever else.
Yeah, a lot of them come with factory roof rails that you could put a tent on already.
You know, it's funny. I had that thought too, whatever that generation of Explorer is, like the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that.
I don't think the Explorer does it for me though, because it's just, there's so many better options when it comes to the SUV.
For me personally, no, but like as an option for like a cheap entry point to getting into overlanding, whatever, I could see it.
I can too. I just don't, I think that the main appeal here is that it is a technically a crew cab truck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
With white gauges.
Like, because with all the, with the SUV version, it's like, man, there's, you know, there's Monteros and there's Land Cruisers and there's this and that and the other, like there's so many others that are not like the kind of meh Ford SUV era, you know?
I will say whoever took the pictures for Kendall Toyota of Bend on this sport track, I found, just was phoning it in.
Yeah.
They were not interested. They did not give a shit about this truck and whether or not it was clean enough or they got the whole truck in the picture sometimes.
Yeah.
What's the price?
I think the other...
It's like $5,000 at Toyota.
I mean,
I think the other thing I was thinking, whether it's Explorer or Sport Track or whatever, it wasn't necessarily for me, but it was the other thought I had on the Overland. 69. What made something a viable, cheap Overland option was repair, like cost and repairability. And they're very like cheap to acquire, cheap to repair. Ford probably made, you know, 10 million Explorers in the early 2000s. So there's parts everywhere, used, new, aftermarket, whatever. So no matter
and
where you
because
go,
it's an Explorer, you've got tons of desert truck shit.
Yeah.
So if you get stuff, really into it,
yeah, you can do Ranger
that,
shit.
That thing could be pretty gnarly.
And if you're going to drive it across Mexico or South America, they sold a shitload of them there too. So like there's a lot there of where trying to repair a Land Rover in the middle of the Baja desert might not be as easily done.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not.
Yeah.
So,
we didn't talk about the Xterra at this point. I would still think that...
I think it's properly rated.
I think it's properly rated.
It's properly rated.
Plenty of them out there.
There's a lot of them.
Tons of them on the Overland. Like, yes, there are not as many as there are 4Runners.
Yeah.
Obviously, because that's...
There's just not as many...
Things that they have to have.
Well, there's just not as many to begin on the road to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. And I think those ones are definitely...
Some limitations as far as like aftermarket options go is for upgradability and repairability, and there just aren't nearly as many choices for suspension upgrades as there are Tacoma or 4Runner or whatever the stupid thing's called.
You mean the most overrated? Because I told you I was gonna be quiet this podcast. Turns out
he dislikes
them
so much he forgot the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That says something.
I swear I read most overrated. I was just gonna sit here and shit talk the 4Runner for the whole time.
Oh yeah. I mean,
I had no plans.
That would easily be
other than that.
So overrated. Jesse said he had a huge list, so let's see what else did he have that isn't feet.
I got a B series Mazda truck.
Okay, so a Ranger.
Yeah, but that's still back into the game of
it's mini truck. One
yeah,
maybe
mini
two
truck,
people.
But that's fine, cuz you know what? Yeah. There's a lot of people out there with a dog B-series. And a partner.
Yeah.
How about like, Jesse, did you put did you put an Arabian horse on your list?
B-Series is the same as
I
Ranger.
Did put a horse. I am not joking.
Yes.
God.
Yes, I did put, as a joke,
I love it.
It's horse.
I like it.
So there is a couple jokes at the bottom. So my other one we didn't talk about is a first-gen Isuzu Trooper. I love those trucks. Yeah. I think they're great little rigs. You can fit a lot. So you got four doors, but you know, that's in the same, you know, class as a first gen Montero.
Yeah. Ish. Yeah. Less easy to get stuff for.
Are you talking about this generation B series truck?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Back when it was perfect. Real Mazda.
Yeah.
This is the same generation.
And yet still somehow a Ranger.
This is the generation that Dave Chappelle, the
Dave and Dave built with Graham.
Yeah. Mas Grande.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
They built it in Graham's front yard.
I had the 2-wheel drive version of that. Well, it was too. A single cab, but
yeah, I had a 2600i in high school.
Mine was
2-wheel drive.
It was a 2200.
I loved how it had a...
Or no, not even 22. I think it was just a 2000.
2.6 liter 4-cylinder.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great little truck.
So on the Isuzu path, there are some good ones, but it's like it's hard to get the better ones because it seems like what happened, at least with my limited conversations with the Vehicross friend, is that like right when they went from the better engine, they switched to a worse transmission. So like one had the good transmission and one had the good engine. So it's like this weird transition on it. It sounds like most of the automatics are pretty bad. The manuals are good though. And then the rear axle is pretty good, not as good as a Montero's, but is like close-ish.
Well, and the reason we're not talking more about Troopers, Isuzu Troopers, is because most of them fell over. You take a hard right turn. We had three people in my high school class, in my graduating class at Bend High, that rolled just onto the side Isuzu Troopers.
We did?
There was like this crew of guys. They thought they were cool. Yeah.
I don't
two
remember
of them
that
moved down the street for me. Yeah. It was after graduation.
Oh.
Oh, well, so something else may have been involved there.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But they just...
What could that have been?
On the street, not doing anything silly, except being... Well, not like off-roading or anything, but probably doing something silly. Mm-hmm. But they turned too sharp, too fast, and they just went thunk right on the side. It was great. Two of them were brothers, and they lived down the road from me.
Oh.
One of them did it, the other one did it.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
it was like your brother did it and then you went and did it again.
Uh-huh.
It was like months later. It was great.
It probably didn't roll onto the top because it
is
so
tall.
Side.
Yeah.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It didn't roll onto the top because it is so tall. It needs more momentum to actually get on its top.
You need to dig a hole. There needs to be like machinery involved because those things are twice as tall as any other SUV in the same era.
So is it like the Reliant Robin of vehicles that fall over easily?
It probably would be more stable if it only had three wheels somehow.
Oh, man. Well, Jesse, I would say that the horse has been the choice of Overlanders for like 5,000 years. So
it's true.
Yes.
I think it's properly rated.
Just super rated.
It's pretty rated.
Do you have
my next one? Wagon? I was gonna do. But I'm not gonna do. No.
Horse-drawn carriage.
My last. Wow. My last one, which is a semi joke, but kind of not a joke.
Oh God.
Pontiac Aztec.
I mean, it came with a tent. Oh, there is that.
It came with a tent
and a fridge.
And it's still bad.
Yeah.
Man.
I saw. What did I? I feel like I just saw some AI like mashup where somebody made it a PT Cruiser, made the Aztec a PT Cruiser. it was as bad as you think it is.
Just when you think it can't get worse, it gets worse.
I think everybody's gonna shoot this down, but I also think
ready
that strangely enough, the JK Wrangler is underrated as an Overlander. And I
disagree.
Know that what? I make everybody go, what? No. But I think you see way less of those than you see other things.
I disagree.
I think you see too many of them because it sucks. But it's not great. We don't enjoy it. And it's not good.
Yeah.
But also, I have that and I won't
The back seat is tiny. The rear door aperture is tiny. The cargo area is narrow, and has the big ass roll bars in the way.
In the way, yeah.
So you're saying it's overrated?
I think it's properly rated. I think it's a very good platform if it's just two people,
and if you want to off road more than overland,
yeah, and you want to do some legit off road,
the camping part.
It's funny.
That's why I have mine.
You're right. We're shooting it down because I think I think it's properly rated.
I knew you were going to shoot it down the second that everybody said that the Xterra was properly rated. So I was like, "Oh man,
this is, oh no,
I say this, but I'm going to."
Well, thank you for bringing it to the table so we can shoot it down, though. Yeah, yeah. You know, rather than just shutting up about it, yeah.
I'm all about it. It is a very Swiss Army knife setup. Mm-hmm. It does have the ability to do a lot of things. I do a lot of things with mine, but every time we camp out of it, I'm just like, I wish I had something else.
Like a black Escalade.
Yeah, which is where you're going. Hey, listen, it's a 6.2 all aluminum already with a 6L80 already. So all I got to do is put a transfer case on it that's worth a darn and tons, and we're ready to go, baby.
You're ready to slide right off that road. If you can fit down it.
Ready to roll it down Blackware Pass.
I'm here for it.
It will forever be the S13 of off-roaders, but that, you know, S13s also have their limitations.
Hey, man, you see them road raced. I've seen them go very fast as a drag strip, and I've seen them drift, so... Swiss Army knife.
You need me to camp out of them?
Swiss Army knife.
Probably. I have seen off-road ones, so.
That's terrible.
Probably a gambler.
Maybe it's an S14. There's that famous like Rocket Bunny kit, the one that looks like a Challenger, but it's got like pre-runner suspension. It's super cool. I mean,
I'll bet Colin would love that thing.
Colin would hate
it. The Mighty Carmods guys. I'm not liking where this is going.
The Mighty Carmods guys did a Mad Max off-road 13 or 14, I don't remember. But yeah, it wasn't great. It was for a commercial.
Mm. Well, anybody else got new?
Well, I'm out. Okay. I just brought some Japanese trucks and SUVs.
Well, you know.
I like that you have a little JK in the
Hold on. There. Before you do that, I want to...
It's too late. I started playing the music.
You can't just stop it.
Sean. Guess what? I have something. I have something.
Oh,
would you pay money for that?
For fuck's sake. What?
It's not for sale.
Oh, for that? You got something for... Would you pay money for this?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, so you're going to kick it off? Oh, get out. That's not... You liar. God, you're full of shit.
I would not pay money for that.
Look at that. That is terrible. What? Get out of here.
It's just a body lift? Jeez. Did you cut the body off?
Lucky I didn't kick you out of the
room. I was going to say, you should kick him out of the room.
Good God.
I tell you.
This guy. I'll do mine.
So
and
no,
then
the answer is no, I wouldn't pay money
Luke,
for that.
Luke, you can pull yours up after I do this one here. Since you said you have one.
All right, so
this one's a 2021 URJ 200 Heritage Edition.
Oh.
That has been made into a ute with a camper on the back. You know, it's a South America thing.
I think we featured this before.
No, we didn't.
I'm pretty sure. Not as would you pay money for this, but like, I think we've gone over this before. It was at SEMA, I think, or one just like it. And we talked about it.
Okay. Well, maybe, but do you know what it costs?
No, I have no idea. $200,000.
$250.
Ouches of meat.
I was going to say $120,000.
But the point of the game is it doesn't matter what it costs. It's would you pay money for it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
We can still guess how much it costs.
Yeah, you can guess because I haven't gotten to it yet. I know how much it is.
I'm going $250.
It's got wood floors.
Are we going prices right?
Yeah, $1 Bob.
Closest without going over?
$1. $1 Bob.
Well, you've already heard of a 120.
By the way.
You would?
Yeah, I think it's great.
Is it?
I like it.
I don't like it. I don't like that bot. No.
I don't know. I'm also not the biggest 200 series fan. I do like that they made it, you know, ute-y, but I think the like having it be like a living quarters essentially as the ute part is the overkill. If it was just like single cab ute with tray bed and like an Aussie canopy, I think I'd be fully in. But because it's like this whole rigmarole of I've got my fucking kitchen in here and all that shit, like I think that takes it out for me.
That's fair. That's fair.
I was gonna say I could see that because it'd be really cool.
Jesse was only off by more than half.
Well, I said 250.
There,
well, nice. Jesse was even less than that.
I said 126.
Yeah, see,
man.
Yeah,
currently located in Salt Lake City. What?
Yeah,
but how? It's not U.S. legal.
No, that's a regular
200.
It's a regular two. Okay.
Yeah,
it's a Lexus. Yeah.
No, that's actually a regular old Land Cruiser. It's 21 or whatever. 200 series Land Cruiser.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, it's the same.
Why does that grill look
same
different?
Thing?
Is it just because it has that bumper on it? It looks different.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's the same because that's the same Land Cruiser that.
I thought that was like the Aussie
dude has.
Back.
No, I mean it's.
I feel like this is somebody who doesn't want to sell their rig. They just want to put it on the front page. So they made a for sale. Like, come take a look at my thing. Mm-hmm. It's $300,000. Don't worry about it.
I forget what the Earth Cruiser things that were like that were called, but like they cost in that range.
Like the truck house? That's the
price for like a, a fiberglass backed, like custom build yacht interior thing. Yeah. I think it's too much money. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to like say that it's a value, like, but that's
they're
what
like
it
three
costs.
Times the size. And
no, the truck ones, like the pickup ones.
Yeah, the truck house ones are like $1 million, but that's like a full carbon fiber shell on the back of a Tacoma.
No, like Earth Cruiser made Super Duty based.
Earth like,
Roamer.
Like what Earth Roamer, Roamer built?
Earth
yeah.
Roamer. No, Earth Cruiser are like in Bend Earth Cruiser.
Yeah.
With a pop
up. It's still bigger than that.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not like
by a lot.
Huge.
And they're like 280.
You're just about to argue yourself. The difference between a Tahoe and a Land Cruiser here.
I'm telling you,
my friend.
I know, but I feel like this isn't. There's just not enough. I don't know. If you're gonna be in that price range, I feel like you.
That's
either
not the
need
point
to
of the
be,
game.
No. We can. I'm not deciding of whether or not I'd pay money based off the price, but I do think that they're. That's a lot of money to spend on something.
I mean, I wouldn't pay money for it.
I'm a no. But...
There it is. Terra Nova is the thing. And it is big.
It has the wrong badge.
It's definitely bigger. It
does have the wrong badge for me.
You know, 20% bigger or something.
Yeah. Well, and there's like, they make them so there's room to stand up in them and like move around.
Well,
in them.
And to put it in perspective, this is 300. An Earth Cruiser started at 250.
Yeah.
Which is like way more space. Granted, it's much more of a, usable than this potentially. It's like has a sole purpose.
Right.
But
you'd have to not
the
like...
amount of rig and camp, or I should say living quarters. It's not really camping anymore. Living quarters compared to this is. Quite the difference. So,
no, I'm with.
So this got the Toyota tax and the Ute tax.
It's double taxed, you know, and we're working on that. I've got one.
I would pay money for that. If you're curious, I would pay money for that.
Oh, at least I got one ally here.
Yeah, I would not. But
that was two.
I like the pass through is cool.
That's
like,
the thing for
you
me.
Know. You know, it would be cooler if it was the tray bed, but the pass-through is really nice in being able just to get out of your seat and go to the bed.
I think this is going to land in the same category for me. Like, I have this crazy thought that, like, it would be so fun to do a crazy long expedition in something like that. Wow.
I mean, yeah, if I would, I would have it for the purpose of driving to, like, Argentina.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I would have this, I would pay money for this, and I would do it for what it's for. It would not be for going the way we overland and
this is an RV stuff.
This is an RV. You can tow a large boat behind there. Drop down
bunk bed, is that what that is?
Yeah. And it's got like a full bathroom and a full kitchen.
Does it say how much this thing weighs?
It's in private.
I don't know if I want to know, but
Clark, we're taking it with us when we leave here next month.
It's on 42,000
pound towing capacity. Yeah.
See, you could tow all the side by sides Jesse wants behind there without any problems.
Yeah, I mean it is absolutely a live in.
Yeah,
like you're not like wheeling it. It has to look like this in order to get down some of the things that we do in our regular SUVs.
Oh yeah,
I bet you can take a Tahoe
anywhere this could go.
I think a lot of people don't understand that part of like this type of thing.
Yeah.
Is like, no, the reason it's on 42s and all of this shit is because in order for it to even halfway perform decently with how much is going on here,
yeah,
it has to be that way.
There's an 8-foot overhang behind the back tire.
There's not going to be a lot of steep grades there.
Yeah.
That's the part that really hangs me up on that is, no pun intended, but that 8-foot overhang, if it was shorter, I would, but... No,
it we've said, it definitely more is leaning. This is an RV.
Yeah, it's like, got a slide out.
Than it is a live-in overlander type deal, because any respectable,
it's got air conditioning.
Overland, like live-in overland deal, is going to have that angled rear cut.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Like the Land Cruiser did, where we've got an overhang, but we're going to put this at like a 35 degree angle so that, you know, maybe you'll clear things as you go up a steep incline.
Yeah, those are all good points. You know?
Any kind of V notch. There's a TV in the bed area.
You need that departure angle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two RV for this guy.
Good points.
But I would pay money for that.
I'm going to say no.
I feel like those should be switched for that particular one.
the way our attitudes were about that is that
those should have been switched. When someone said yes, it should have been the
all right
womp. But yeah.
So you could instead of that Toyota, you have a blank slate to build out to your heart's desire with a
Well, let's not say blank. That's a purple slate.
That is. Crazy purple.
Purple.
Wow.
Yep.
Very, very purple. An E350, good condition, as it says. Let's see.
Believable.
Four cons. Quigley off-road package, four-wheel drive, pop top.
Still yes.
Big giant aluminum basket on top, 6-inch lift, 33-inch tire, V10 gas. Take some spare spark plugs and some sleeves with you.
Yep.
Yeah.
You just tack weld them once you get them in there.
Man, I hate that color.
It's that pop top
is tall.
It's so tall. Yes.
And I'm not even counting the rack like that's on top of it.
It's so big.
But like that's gotta be double the height of Lauren's.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's I've seen those before. It's like a high top that's motorized or has like a mechanism in it.
Uh-huh. Even closed with the basket, it's like pretty aggressive.
Yeah, those people are 7 feet tall. And it's no, I still would.
But you
I'd paint it white.
I was just gonna say the condition is that you have to keep the color. That's the rule.
I still would.
I'm making the rules for this. And
he's
you have
making
to
the rules
keep the color.
It's got to be purple.
I'll drive through enough mud puddles on a regular... I'll reverse car wash it. I will never let it be clean enough that you can see how purple it is.
Man, I think the combo of the color and the V10, I think I might be out on this one. I want to love it, but I just...
One band John doesn't want.
Yeah.
All right.
What's the... Yeah, that's... I mean, that purple is the... The McDonald's guy.
Yeah.
Grimace.
Yes. That is Grimace purple.
And it
right
makes
there.
Me grimace.
Yeah. That's exactly what it makes you do.
I saw one of those like fuchsia colored JL Wranglers, but it was a 392 today.
Oh yeah.
And I thought, man, that's sweet. Mm-hmm. And it's very close to the same color, but it looks so bad on that van.
I'd buy polarized sunglasses that just off that color just a little bit enough that it looks burgundy or something.
Yeah, it looks right on a Jeep. Go from there. Wrong on a van.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not.
Well, it's a lot more color on a van.
A lot of surface area.
Yeah. So
yeah, there's no black hard top, black fenders. Mm-hmm. There's no breaking it up.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah.
Do you have another, Colin? Or are you out?
No.
I've got one.
Oh,
you've got
this is like
another Sylvia. I swear
this is. Would you pay money for this?
I'm gonna kick you out.
He's got the ban button. He's just sitting ready for the ban button. Come on.
Boot. This better be good.
Look at that.
Like I said, yes. Is that an Urza Minor top? Yeah.
Yeah.
I want one of those.
Would you pay money for that live-in edition? There we go. 15 Rubicon Wrangler JK with an Urza Minor camper on it.
Yeah. It's
Falcon shocks,
31,005, 95,000 miles.
Yeah, pretty.
I mean, that's not that much more expensive
than standard
the
Rubicon.
Jeep, just to be a Rubicon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a top, right?
And it's I mean, it's a post 12, so that's good.
That's Pedestar, yeah.
Yeah, better interior.
2011 is when the interior changed.
Right. Well, I'm just saying.
I appreciate because that's what I have. I have the shittier motor, but the better interior, which I wish they had done the other way around.
Cost over 26K in upgrades.
Oh, a bunch of AEV stuff. So AEV bumpers, lift wheels.
Well, yeah, I mean,
513.
Half the AEV stuff might have come from the factory, honestly.
Yeah, that off. I think that started as an AEV.
Yeah.
Is it on 37s or 35s?
35s with 513 gears. It's ready for 40s.
Yeah, you need 37s.
Jesus.
Because I got 513s with 37s and I have half the horsepower.
Mm. Pretty cool.
You could 37 that all day.
I would pay money for that.
Yeah, I'd have it.
Yeah. I mean, yes, for sure.
Curious.
I appreciate
how much
that
room that has, but I still like it.
I appreciate the top is color matched.
Yeah, that's
well.
Nice.
It makes it look a lot better. If it was not color matched, it would kind of feel off. But
it's also optioned to have the side windows too, because I've seen those without the side windows.
That's nice too, yeah.
I've seen a bunch of them where they fake the side windows with like plexiglass and make them openable too.
Yeah, they do movable. You can do sliding, you can do pop out, or you can do like blanking plates so that you don't get the light, or just regular windows.
Oh, on the like quarter windows.
On the quarter
windows,
yeah. They have like four or five different window choices.
They make like toolboxes that you can put in there and some other stuff too. Make them little storage spaces, which is kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah,
absolutely would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
I would not. Okay.
I'm the only guy I know that's had two JKs of the same era at the same time.
Fucking hated them. I hated driving them.
Former GPI. Did you sell all the all your ducks when you got rid of your JKs? Or
luckily, I didn't have any. I didn't drive them around enough to ever be a victim of that crime.